Bill Fennelly's here. It's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show podcast with Drew Mendel, Ezra Ginsberg, and Dave Manute.
Good morning, Winnipeg. Good morning, Manitoba. And for all those joining us live this morning on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good morning, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. I'm your host, Drew Mendel, joined by Dave Manute, joined by Ezra Ginsberg. Gentlemen, good to see you on this Saturday morning. Lots to talk about the Winnipeg Jets. It's a Jets game day tonight in action in Montreal to conclude the two-game series. And we're a little more than 48 hours away from the NHL trade deadline, so we're going to be all over that as well. Nice to see so many people in the chat, so many of our regulars and newcomers. Nice to see you all. Do as Blake Wallace, Blake at the Lake, said, smash the subscribe and hit the like button. Listen to Blake. Blake is a very smart man.
I think Robert Palmer is a pretty smart man. He's been up since 4 a.m. waiting for the best show in hockey.
Well, there you go. Robert is very smart. Basically, everybody who's joining us, everybody who's chatting with us, they're all very smart men and women. Nice to see so many of you on this, the 10th day of April. I should really keep an eye on that. My anniversary is coming up, so somebody needs to remind me about that later on next week. But in any event, so good to see so many of you. Dave, rocking the Detroit Tigers hat, keeping us on our toes as we try and keep track of your myriad of baseball allegiances.
Yeah, I'm a big Tigers guy. Love the Tigers.
You did live in Detroit, so I mean, I actually didn't
live in Detroit.
Close
I
enough.
I did live in Michigan.
Michigan, good enough. No one's gonna argue about that. Ezzy, nice to see that you're still homeless based on your current appearance.
Yeah, good to see you, boys. I guess we were wrong. Last weekend, we were saying that the Jets would complete a trade before this Saturday's show. And
you didn't say before next Saturday. You actually said before the trade deadline. So you're still good.
That's true.
But the question was, will they have made a trade before next Saturday's show? And you obviously, in typical Ezzy fashion, didn't answer the exact question. Dave, you answered it incorrectly, mind you, but at least you answered it.
I don't think I did, actually. I think they, and for the record, I didn't, because as I'm about to inform the readers and the watchers and the listeners, The Jets did make a move. They signed Cole Keller, Altona goalie from Altona, to a deal for the remainder of the season. He has got his first win on Thursday night for the Manitoba Moose. So technically they made a move. They didn't make a trade, though.
Fair enough. It's a two-way contract for Cole Keller at the NHL and AHL level. Hard to believe you're going to see him at the NHL level, but you never know.
So Ezzy and I were discussing it beforehand, talking about why would they make the move. And I said to Ed,
hang on, there was a pre-show meeting and nobody invited me?
There was a pre-show meeting. Well, you had to be in my residence to have it, but the point is that
I'm good.
The point is that to me, and I could be wrong, but I think it's almost like what they did with Jamie Phillips. If you remember when they needed a guy. Now they have Comrie, so maybe not so much, but they did, if you'll recall, when Comrie was playing with the Moose and they had Burden with the Moose and they wanted the guys to be playing, they had, or maybe they lost Comrie, but they had Jamie Phillips go up to the parent club and be that third goaltender. So I guess it's more just an insurance move if they need to, so that way they can keep Burden playing with the Moose and have someone if they need one of their three goalies go down.
Yeah, and it's just nice for Cole Keller, right? Like, he was a Los Angeles Kings draft pick. He was in their system. You know, just nice. He picked up his first win. We talked about that on the post-game show on Thursday night. So just nice for him to get a contract and, you know, keep playing with the Moose, as you said.
Yeah.
Exactly right. So, I think that's pretty much all the Cole Keller conversation, because we've exhausted that topic. Dave, of course, will be covering the Manitoba Moose game later on this afternoon, 2:00. It's a busy day on illegalcurve.com between the Moose coverage and then the Jets game, 6:00 tonight, of course, in Montreal, and then the post game show later on tonight, about a little less than 12 hours from now, maybe 11 and a half hours or so, right around 8:35, 8:45. That's when we're going to be joining you with the Illegal Curve post game show, talking about everything going on between the Jets and the Habs later tonight. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. We start with the Jets and the week that was for the Winnipeg Jets. And this is the last quiet week for the Jets. We know that you know, the games against Vancouver, which would have made it a busier week, one more game was on the schedule. Those games were postponed due to the Canucks COVID outbreak. So the Jets only played Monday against Ottawa, that rescheduled game against the Senators, a 4-3 victory, a hard-fought 4-3 victory as it happened. And then Thursday night, they go into Montreal to face the Habs in the first of two games, 4-2, the Jets victors over the Montreal Canadiens. You know, anytime you finish a week, albeit a quiet week, with two victories and no losses, you'll say it's a good week for the hometown team.
Yeah, and Dave mentioned this, you know, going into that game against the Senators and how that would help the Jets, right? Because there's a big difference between having a couple of days between games as opposed to 5 days between games. And obviously the game on Monday against Ottawa was completely one-sided. And you know, you mentioned Drew was, it was hard fought, but really it was really a third period push that made that game close. It easily could have been a 5-1 or 6-1 game going into that last period. So yeah, the Jets take care of business against the Senators, maybe not quite as good as the Edmonton Oilers, who beat the Senators 9 times. But to me, the big win was the win against the Habs, you know, just a good, solid, you know, road victory. You know, obviously, you know, wasn't the Jets' best game, but, you know, you score those 3 goals in the first period. You like the fact that, you know, you got some goals from, you know, guys that haven't been putting the puck in the net that much, like Trevor Lewis and Josh Morrissey. You know, that's something that we haven't talked too much about lately, guys, but, you know, that is something that, you know, the Jets haven't received a lot of, you know, run support from their defense. And we know that this isn't, you know, the 2017-18 Jets where you had, you know, Big Buff and Jacob Trouba and Tyler Myers. It's not that as talented, all due respect, as that group from 2018. But I think you like to see, you know, some of that depth scoring, and you like to see how Andrew Kopp played on that top line after he was bumped up from the second line. And I think, you know, that's something, boys, that we're going to be talking about a lot here this morning. And I think there's a good chance that, you know, Kopp does stay on Scheifele's line. And, you know, even if he isn't on Scheifele's line, we know that Paul Maurice is going to be tinkering with these lines. And Paul Stastny even said that, you know, in his most recent, you know, presser, he said, like, it doesn't matter where anybody plays. Like, even if, you know, you have a Matty Perreault on the first line, you know, things are going to change here with, you know, 16 games left in the season. The Jets have so much versatility with their wingers. The only real big move, big surprise would be, as we've talked about for the last 2 or 3 weeks, if Paul Stastny does eventually move down to the middle. And I wouldn't be surprised, guys, if you see that on the homestand against Toronto. I don't think you're going to see it tonight necessarily, but I think, you know, against Toronto, when we know those games are going to have seeding implications, maybe you see that. But that's something definitely to watch, just with that, you know, flip-flop between Kopp and Ehlers on those top two lines.
And, you know, Paul Maurice talked about it in his presser yesterday. He talked about the fact that, and it's funny because usually he's not that specific, and he did offer some specificity in his remarks when he said he'd like to have the lines he's going to run with by the end of this road trip. So again, there's a couple of thought processes, right? He said by the 17th. So I don't know if he meant he played that game against the Oilers and then go from there. And that's kind of the way I took it, was that he would maybe, they'd have a 3-day break. So whatever he's going to kind of do within there, obviously be a day off, I would imagine, and then they'll have a couple of days of practice. So my guess is what he's going to do is he's going to pick his lines, and then they've got 3 against Toronto, and he'll go with those 3 games against Toronto. That's the line you're probably going to see, barring injury, for the remainder of the season. That would be my guess. This road trip is a tinkering road trip, and he's been using that phrase quite a bit, and he's been signaling it all throughout the course of his press conferences, talking about how he's going to be playing with the things. And look, Andrew Kopp's playing on his off wing, and he talked about the adjustment that takes to kind of, you know, get used to playing on the side. He doesn't play very frequently. I don't think he did it for the Moose either. So that's something he's trying to learn. And, you know, it's not easy because, again, you're going up against tougher competition. It's not as if there's a lot of like latitude for him. So that's why Paul Maurice has talked about that idea. And it's interesting because Mike McIntyre of the Winnipeg Free Press has been kind of introduced this idea in the scrums. I think he did it yesterday, but he's talking about this buffer, right? The Jets have a 16-point advantage over the non-playoff teams. So isn't this an opportunity for the Jets to kind of play with some things and figure it out? And we've talked about it, right? Paul Maurice, I think, has learned his lesson about what happens when you become too reliant on one line and guys aren't used to playing with each other. So he's getting them that chemistry. He's giving them that opportunity to play together. And then They'll have that muscle memory if he needs to go back to it later on in the season.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's clearly where we're at, the point of the season where we're at right now. And you know, the trade deadline obviously is a focus of today's show because that's coming up on Monday. But, you know, after Monday, it's basically almost a month of, you know, for lack of better term, almost a month of exhibition games or 3 weeks of exhibition games to, you know, normally exhibition games are what you use to get ready for the regular season. The Jets, the Oilers, the Leafs, the Habs, they're going to be using the next, you know, 3 weeks worth of games to ramp up and get ready for the playoffs because there is no playoff race in this North Division. I mean, which is, you know, sort of hard to believe given what we would have, you know, expected at the beginning of the year. But, you know, as you look, we've talked about it. Dave, you mentioned, Paul Maurice mentioned, Mike McIntyre wrote about it in his article in today's Winnipeg Free Press. The Jets have that large 16-point cushion in the North Division between them and the Vancouver Canucks for the final, or for the, not the final playoff spot, but for, you know, a playoff spot. And so that's why Paul Maurice and the Jets team are going to be using the next 3 weeks worth of games. They're not fighting tooth and nail. You know, when Blake Wheeler comes back healthy, I wouldn't be surprised if you see some guys, you know, intermittently get some days off, maybe get a little bit of rest, not a significant period of time, but if you can get a guy, give him a night off and maybe get 3 or 4 days of rest out of the guy, you want everybody to be as close to 100% for the start of the playoffs, which is something you don't really ever get in an NHL season, which is what's going to make the playoffs, I think, so fascinating, in that you're going to have this buffer of time between, I'll say, important games in the regular season and the start of the playoffs. It's going to be this weird sort of lull for the next 3 weeks after the trade deadline, because that's the last sort of milestone on the calendar before the playoffs begin.
Don't necessarily agree with you 100% here, Drew. Like, I see what you're saying about, you know, there being exhibition games, but like towards the end of this road trip, we know that the last game is against Toronto. That begins 7 straight games against Toronto and Edmonton. So these are the top 3 teams going to battle here. So I don't necessarily think that, you know, these are going to be just light games where, you know, the Jets are hoping to get through them without injury. I mean, these teams are all jockeying for position here. So, right, I mean, I don't think I would be a little bit reticent to say that they're going to be exhibition games, because they do have implications in terms of seeding. Yes, all these teams are going to be playoff teams. There's no doubt about that. But I mean, these teams are going to go to war here in these games. You don't want to get, you know, fall behind here. And even though, you know, you could argue, you know, does it really even matter where you finish? That is obviously, you know, somewhat of a rhetorical question. But the point is, I mean, these guys are all professionals and they're all going to try to win these games. So I would just throw that in there. But I know what you're saying. It is a unique situation in that the Jets are so far ahead of the fifth place team in the division.
Well, and the only thing I would add, Drew, to be honest with you, that kind of the thought process is that I think what the Jets have managed to do to you know, normally I would agree with you in terms of that idea of resting. Mm-hmm. But I actually think Paul Maurice has done a pretty good job in terms of avoiding putting his guys on the ice. So it seems like, and again, we don't know for sure. I think if you think about it, they've been remarkably healthy for the most part. They've avoided a lot of some things are unavoidable, you know, like Blake Wheeler, that's unavoidable. But yeah. But some of the little minor bangs and bruises, I think because he's giving these guys a lot of rest, he's not putting them on the ice too much. I mean, maybe that's kind of going to offset it. And again, I would be interested. I might ask him as it gets closer to the playoffs, that idea of, does he feel that the way they've been able to manage? And we know this is a season like no other, completely unique in its own character. Does he feel that this will have given him a bit of an edge, not over other teams, because we don't really know what other teams are doing, but just in terms of how his team has been able to come back to the rink and have they managed to stay fresh? Because remember, we talked about that idea of using the taxi squad to kind of give his guys fresh legs. But it seems like with the way they've kind of gone through the rest phase of a rest and recovery phase on non-game days, that it's allowed his team to kind of stay fresh for most games.
Yes, and I'm not saying that the games don't matter, but you know, if the Jets go, you mentioned, Ezzie, that they have that, you know, stretch of games against the Oilers and the Leafs, and if they go 2-4-1 instead of 4-2-1, I mean, I don't think anybody's going to be pulling their hair out, or non-existent hair, as the case may be, because I mean, all these teams, you know, the Jets, the Leafs, the Habs, the Oilers, they know that they're playoff bound. I mean, here's Mike McIntyre in today's Winnipeg Free Press. All that's left to be determined in the final month of the regular season is whether the 24-13-3 Jets finished first, second, third, or fourth in the All-Canadian loop, All-Canadian division, and which of Toronto, Edmonton, or Montreal they meet in the opening round, to which I say, who cares? And there's a, I tend to believe that there is an element of that. You know, I know that the Leafs are the, you know, quote unquote best team in the North Division, and they have been certainly all year, all season long, record wise. But frankly, I mean, is there anybody who thinks that the Jets cannot beat the Leafs? I don't believe that. I mean,
I think you're fixating a little bit too much on wins and losses here. The point is that these two teams could meet each other in the playoffs, right? So sure. you're going head to head with these teams right now. And yes, and this is, like, you know, all due respect to Mike, this is nothing new. We've known who the four teams are going to be for quite some time now. Like, I would say it's been a few weeks since we've known that the Flames and Canucks are out, right? So it's not like this has changed in the last 2 days or 5 days or anything. But the point I'm trying to make is that you know that you're going to have to go through most likely the Oilers or the Leafs. I mean, yes, it could be the Habs that factor in here. So These are games in which you want to see how you're doing. You want to know what your matchups are like. And so I don't really know what the point is. Like, are we trying to say that, you know, the Jets aren't going to try to win these games? Of course we're not. I'm just saying, like, the teams are still going to try to win these games. So in that respect, I don't think, you know, much has changed the fact that those other teams are out of the playoff picture. And come on, guys, there's 16 games left in the season. We can't start talking about resting players. You do that when there's maybe 4 or 5 games left in the season, but I think it's much too early to start talking about resting players.
Fair, but I do think that after Monday, this is going to become a real grind for the next 3 weeks, almost dull because of just the nature of the beast. I mean, these players get up for important games. They're humans. They know that, you know, this game on a Saturday night, you know, when you're battling for playoff positioning or it's a statement kind of opportunity, matters more than a random Monday game. Or it's easier to play in that kind of game than a random midweek game. And I think that's the next 3 weeks is going to be really difficult on these players to get the excitement and the energy, because they'll know psychologically that they're basically a playoff team. But you know, there's nothing really to play for aside from, to your point, you know, playoff positioning, and, you know, there's not really many statements you're going to make between now and the end of the regular season, Dave.
Well, and, you know, the only thing I would say, though, Drew, in the normal course, you're probably right. You know, if you're playing a Philadelphia or a Minnesota on a Tuesday night, you may not have that incentive to get up for it. But I think because of the nature of the season, because of the nature of the scheduling, you know, playing Toronto 3 games in a row, you know, you have a little bit more of that must-win mentality. You know, you don't want to lose 3 games in a row to the team. And as he's not wrong, Paul Stastny talked about it. You know, you don't get to just flip a switch because it's the playoffs all of a sudden. Again, we've talked about it. You don't have to be a juggernaut, 10-0 in your last 10 games to go on and win the Stanley Cup. But you have to be playing a fairly decent level of hockey to really get in there. I think, like I said, when I looked at it a few years back, I think only one or two, I think it was like the Blackhawks in 2013, I think had a losing record, but other in the final 10 games of the season. But for the most part, the teams were above 600. You know, most teams had won the majority of their games going into the playoff run. So you don't want to be, again, final playoff, as he's right, in my opinion, in the final playoff game, the final regular season game, you can throw a guy, you can rest guys up before the first series. But, you know, you need your team humming along. You need your team playing. And like I said, Paul Stastny, who's a veteran, he's been in this game a long time, has a lot of experience. He talked about it. You don't just flip a switch and say, well, now is the playoffs. Now we got to start playing.
Yeah, and there's no right or wrong here, right? Like, you know, we're just
we're right, Drew's wrong. Come on.
Yeah, I'd like to think that, but no, it's you know, Drew's major point here is that this is a very unique situation for the Jets, right? Like, it hasn't been like this since, you know, 2018, right, guys? Like, when the Jets and the Predators were battling it out for first in the Central, okay, you knew the Jets had a cushion and all that, but the last couple of years here, I mean, the Jets have been battling for the playoff spot right till the end of the regular season, so it is unique in that the Jets haven't been here, you know, in 3 years. So, you know, that's something that I think is definitely, you know, on the tops of the minds of the coaching staff here. And, you know, some of these games, even though it won't really matter because the seedings are going to change, like, you know, the Jets and the Oilers, they're going to flip flop between second and third. Obviously both teams are going to hope to catch the Leafs here, but I mean, really, it's the way you're playing heading in, not so much wins and losses, but, you know, do you have four lines going, right? How is Connor Hellebuck playing? There's no reason to think that, you know, Connor Hellebuck will be playing poorly because, you know, aside from a few poor starts this year, he's been one of the top goalies in the league. But I think, you know, especially those three games against the Leafs, we know how, you know, the Jets played against the Leafs in that first game. To me, those are going to be, you know, really interesting games. Definitely not statement games, as you mentioned, Drew, because those three games in Toronto, those were statement games where the Jets took 5 of 6 points because at that point in the season, you know, the Jets were a little bit further behind the Leafs. But yeah, it's going to be, you know, a little bit tricky for the Jets, the Oilers, and the Leafs to get up for some of these games.
Well, let's move on to talking about the Jets forward lines, especially with Blake Wheeler out of the lineup. We know that he left Monday's game, or he finished Monday's game after taking an elbow to the chin, eventually ended up with a concussion. He's not going to be playing on this road trip. He's out indefinitely for the Jets. Before we do talk about the forward lines, as you can see on the bottom of the screen, the ticker there, Kraft Hockeyville, St. Adolph, Manitoba is in the running to be Kraft Hockeyville 2021. Voting is open now. It closes today at 4 o'clock Central Time. Go and vote for St. Adolph, Manitoba. You can vote as many times as you want. Unlimited voting.
Cost you nothing.
Pardon me? Cost you nothing. Exactly. While you're listening to us, be sure to go to crafthockeyville.ca. Cast your vote for St. Adolph, Manitoba.
I'm voting right now.
There you
literally.
Go.
Edzie's voting literally, right I'm now. Voting right now.
There you go. I believe you. If they will, if
wait, is he actually the mayor of St. Adolph?
Yeah, no, he's the town. Forget it. I'm not even going to go there. But if St. Adolph wins, they're going to win $250,000 and an NHL game. So be sure to go vote for St. Adolph, Manitoba, crafthockeyville.ca. Okay, so the Jets without Blake Wheeler, we know that didn't impact them or didn't, I guess, negatively impact them on Thursday in Montreal, having defeated the Montreal Canadiens by a 4-2 margin. The interesting part, I think, for the Jets on Thursday night is that they started the game with their top six of Connor, Scheifele, Ehlers, Stastny, Dubois, and Kopp, and then Paul Maurice made the switch in the third period, going from, you know, moving Scheifele and switching Scheifele and Dubois and moving Kopp around. So then the game ended with Connor, Scheifele, and Kopp, and Stastny, Dubois, and Ehlers. What do you think about that move, and how do you think that's going to impact what we see for the Jets tonight against the Habs in the second of the series?
Yeah, I mentioned it earlier. I think, you know, there is a good chance that, you know, that line stays together, even though it could change in-game. And Paul Maurice mentioned this, and it's really not a secret, right? Like, we know the differences between Andrew Kopp and Nikolaj Ehlers' game here, guys. What you're trying to do is just find more offense at even strength, right? Because we know that, you know, Kopp and Ehlers are going to get their opportunities on the power play. Ehlers is obviously moved up to the top power play unit, but I think that's what you're looking forward here. And you're trying to see, you know, if these lines can be a little bit more effective at 5-on-5, because that was something that we saw on Thursday as we welcome in Jay Bell here. You know, I think that's what you're looking for, because, you know, there's a good chance that these lines are switched again on this road trip.
Yeah, it's certainly, oh, there goes Jason Bell is going to join us, and then he disappeared. We may have been too quick.
Jay Bell has never looked better.
So Jason Bell with the win, there he is. He can see us. Jason, hide. You don't have to run away. It's okay. Anytime. Anyway, Jason's going to join us momentarily.
Which one of us are the IT geniuses?
By the way, Jay, I don't know, but
your camera's not on.
Well, what the heck? I got it. My wife is the IT genius, and even she doesn't know what's going on here today.
What's up, Jay Bell?
You got the dog barking. You got the bird chirping. We got a menagerie here at the Bell House.
You have a pet bird?
We have a conure. It was my 55th birthday present from my family. I've wanted a parrot my whole life, and it sounds really dumb, and I apologize. But you can put him on my shoulder if you really want me to.
Yes. There's no question that we need. We've never had a guest, as far as I know, that has a pet on their shoulder.
Marty. Marty Bird, if you're a Ozark fan.
Yep, Marty. I am an Ozark fan. I'm hoping for another season of Ozark sometime soon. I'm running out of things to watch otherwise.
Hey, Jason Bateman's actually coming up.
Well, it was good to be with you guys. Take care.
That is certainly a first for us on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, having a guest appear with an animal on their shoulder. We have an animal, you know, in the bottom right corner there, but his name's Ezra, and we're used to him at this point in time.
I know. It's time, I don't bite. Is like it's time already. Friedman did it. You can do it.
Yeah, I definitely need to go check out a haircut very soon.
Well, I don't even think I think they're just going to use like a weed whacker. So just go to your neighbor and see if they, you know, have an edger or something that they can just, you know, get rid of that scruff on your face. In any event,
well, Drew and I aren't in a position to talk about anybody's hair. I get that. But I mean, at least the facial hair. I mean, do something with the facial hair.
Our facial hair is nice and groomed, at least. I mean, we look like we're reputable members of society is all I'm saying there, Jay. Exactly. Obviously, Jay, we brought you on to talk about the Jets. We got the trade deadline we'll get to as well. We started, though, we were just talking about you know, the forward lines with Blake Wheeler absent from the Jets lineup indefinitely. We, you know, the rest of this road trip for sure, and who knows about concussions. You know, what did you think of the switch that Paul Maurice made on Thursday night? You know, he started with, you know, Stastny, Dubois, and Kopp, and then in the third period, he quickly made that change to the top six forward group. You know, just wasn't getting the results that he wanted, especially in that second period.
I don't know. Did you fellas think that it made much of a change? I just felt like in the latter half of a good chunk of the second period and the third, they were chasing. And of course they would be chasing because Montreal is a desperate hockey club. And the Jets, you know, and of course Montreal generates a lot of offense. They certainly generate a lot of zone time and they do take shots, but a lot of those shots are from the periphery and Connor Hellebuck was in control there. I just thought it was one of those road games where you kind of get outplayed, but you take the 2 points, go back to your hotel and go back to sleep and hope you got a better effort on Saturday or generate the same kind of 2 points tonight. I just gave Montreal quite a bit of credit that night. I thought for a club that is desperate for points, they did everything they could to get some, just like two nights before. I mean, or the night before, they probably deserved a better fate against Toronto. So you almost kind of feel bad. I'm not a Habs fan, never have been, but I mean, you kind of feel bad for that organization that they weren't able to generate points this week because I thought they would play Winnipeg. And so I don't know if that switch. I mean, Paul has always got his finger, as Mike McIntyre likes to point out, finger on the blender, and I think they're going to start. I wouldn't be surprised if they started the game the same way as they ended it. It sounded like Paul was not particularly comfortable with the way that things shook out in the first half of that hockey game with Kopp playing up. So, but I found that there hasn't been a lot of great chemistry on the top six for a couple of weeks now. You know, it seems like things are just a little bit off. I'm kind of waiting for, I mean, Mark Scheifele, it's very hard to denigrate any part of his game, obviously, but I'm kind of waiting for him to have a bit of a breakout leadership type of game. I think all followers of the Jets, people who watch on a daily basis, are kind of waiting for a more complete 60-minute, 200-foot game from Pierre-Luc Dubois, which I think is in there. It's almost like the guy needs, and maybe you can chime in too, but it's almost like there's so much there. It's like he just needs the summer off. He needs a camp. And he needs to kind of get some normalcy in his life because it's been such a weird year for a player like him. But I don't think there's any question that he's a dominant hockey player, but I just don't think we've seen it yet. You know, without Blake, there's a bit of a different identity with this hockey club. And, you know, they won by committee the other night. And I think he kind of got a sense that there's going to have to be a lot of that. And if they can get the kind of production and just zone time and you know, good work from the bottom six, you know, they're going to probably keep rolling at least toward the playoff time.
Yeah, no, Jay, I think you make some good points there about the top six and Dubois especially. It's not like you're saying they're playing poorly or anything like that. It's just that we know how good they can be. We've seen that, you know, earlier in the season. And specifically Dubois, we know what he did, you know, in the playoffs last year versus Toronto. And obviously, you know, Paul Maurice and you know, the Jets are hoping that, you know, he replicates that in the playoffs this year. But there's no doubt that the top six can be better. You know, not, you know, pointing any fingers at anyone, but there's no doubt that, you know, there is a breakout offensive game coming. And, you know, I wanted to ask you about Mason Appleton, because you've got a great article in today's Winnipeg Free Press. I picked up the hard copy. It's a 3-page story, and, you know, everybody here in Winnipeg and beyond knows how good Appleton has been this year. And, you know, in the story, you talk about his family growing up in Green Bay, you know, a big family. They adopted a Russian girl, Irina, and we recommend everyone reads this article because it really, you know, just tells you a lot about Appleton's upbringing and that how it kind of led to, you know, where he is today. And, you know, with the expansion draft kind of, you know, on the horizon, and we know that Appleton's got a year left on his contract, but, you know, Andrew Kopp, Adam Lowry, I mean, these guys are free agents. Kopp's an RFA, but Lowry's a UFA. But you got to think that Appleton is one of those guys that, you know, Chevy is thinking, you know, I'd like to lock this guy up for, you know, 3-4 years, maybe even, you know, something like 5 years, just the based on the way he's played this year.
Well, he's kind of the poster boy for draft and develop, isn't he? I mean, you know, you get him late, but they certainly liked a lot of things about him, even when he was in his final year of high school. And in college, with the USHL, they liked him a lot. And then, you know, they draft him, and then he has two great years in Michigan State. But they can't keep everybody, and this is the problem. I mean, there's going to be a concerted effort to make sure that they retain Kopp and Lowry, and then the numbers get scary for Jet fans. Like, who are they going to protect up front? Who are they going to protect? We know we are the quandary on the back end already. I mean, is it Dylan DeMello? Is it Logan Stanley? So there's going to be so many questions, and I know, I'm sure the Jets organization right now are focused solely on, you know, 2021, this weirdly abbreviated season and going into the playoffs and whatnot. But I think it would be for Jet fans, I think it would be pretty demoralizing to see a guy like Mason Appleton just walk out of the organization. But we also know that the Vegas model showed us that, you know, general managers do a lot of very creative ways to keep their guys. And you know, just go by the Toby Enstrom model and, you know, the Chris Thorburn goofiness and all that. And the Jets got away with, you know, they got away with a pretty plump situation that time. And it remains to be seen if they will again. But, you know, it was really fun to do that story. And you know, you guys know what it's like in the media, where the daily grind is such that when do you ever get afforded the opportunity to talk to seven different people and write a story that you have to ask people to put aside 3.5 hours to read. But the movie version, I'm wondering.
By the way, Jay, it took me 7 hours to read, just for the record.
It's true. But it was fun to read it. Mason's family played along, and Mason played along, and the Jets were great about letting me talk to a couple of people in the organization. So, you know, we can't do those long reads all the time, but they're a delight to produce, that's for sure.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Saturday morning. We're live on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms. We're talking about the Winnipeg Jets. Our guest is Winnipeg Free Press Jets reporter Jason Bell, alongside his bird, Marty Bell. Marty Bird Bell?
No, he elected not to take our last name.
Okay.
It's too patriarchal.
He emancipated himself. So, Jay, I'll reiterate what Ezzy just said. I thought it was a fantastic article you wrote on Mason Appleton. So we've shared it in the chat, and we'll share it on Twitter. I shared it on the morning papers. I think it's an excellent one. And you're right. You don't get a chance to write those every day. But when you do, they're a really enjoyable read. So that was a really well done one piece. And as he's showing the thing on the thing. This is the beauty of being on TV now, Jay. We don't have to explain it. People can actually see it.
It was also nice of you to include visual aids so as he could understand the article.
Well, and it was cool because, I mean, everybody was so kind to send me those photos. I mean, how do you know, you say, can I get a high school picture? And their little PR department in Notre Dame sends me something, and Michigan State did. And mom was thrilled to send me the family photo. And I guess we don't know Mason Appleton, but you get a sense that he's probably kind of comes from a salt of the earth family, and sure enough, he does, right? So anyway, it was good stuff.
Yeah, no, it was really good. But Jay, this is trade deadline weekend, so of course, yeah, it is, and we've managed to go a couple of questions without asking about the trade deadline. So what's your thoughts on the Winnipeg Jets? I mean, we know what their need is, obviously. So is this the year Kevin Cheveldayoff says, you know, this group has competed well? You know, the prognosticators, a vast majority, didn't expect this team to be fighting for the top seed. They expected them to be fighting for a playoff spot. Instead, they're fighting for the top. So do you think that he's going to be active? Do you think he's going to go, quote, big game hunting? You know, and I mean, that big game seems to be a moving target now, with teams like Nashville out of the running because they're competing. But teams like, you know, Columbus looks like, you know, with all the injuries, with all the moves they're making, they look like they're in fire sale mode. So I guess a guy like David Savard, what do you see the Jets doing this weekend?
Well, you know, obviously, again, we go back to the ugly truth about the cap, right? So, you know, there's not a lot of room to wiggle there, but there are some intriguing things you can do with the cap as well. And as much as they like seeing Nathan Beaulieu in the lineup, are you laughing because Drew, are you smiling because of my bird on the shoulder? Is it off-putting? Do I need to get rid of the bird?
No, you don't need to get rid of the bird.
Definitely do not get rid of Marty Bird.
We'd rather get rid of Drew than Marty Bird.
Control.
I feel like David Letterman
on one of his shows when the Columbus Zoo guy comes out and like all hell breaks loose.
I'm just picturing somebody tuning in right now and we're talking about hockey and then all of a sudden they just see Marty appear out of nowhere and trying to figure out why there's a bird on your shoulder in the course of this interview. This very serious interview, of course. Go ahead. I will keep smirking.
I there's certainly improvements to be made on the back end. I think, you know, they've gotten pretty good mileage out of Tucker Pullman. It's an odd selection for the top pairing in my estimation. It's out of necessity, but I don't think you could debate that he has taken a step forward in the last, I'd even say the last dozen games. You know, he's played a little more poise. Sometimes he just looks like he's kind of running around and the easiest play for him is just to chip the puck up and not hit the clock kind of thing. But he's run around, he's changed that running around style a bit more. And I also think Josh Morrissey's play has improved too. I mean, I think he took a lot of heat earlier in the season, but I think there just seems to be a little bit more comfort there with him and Pullman. You know, Neil Pionk has been a revelation. We know that. They talk about the most valuable player on the team, and they always seem to point to Connor Hellebuck, which is fair, and Mark Scheifele. But wow, where would this team be without Neil Pionk? I mean, all the things that guy does. So, and Derek Forbrick is a suitable partner at this point. I mean, but and then on the third pairing, you know, Dylan DeMello has been better. There's no question. The metrics suggest he's been much better. And Logan Stanley, we all agree, has been a great addition. And what he does, he's now got this willingness. It seems like he wants to throw down like every time he can, right? Which is, I mean, it's certainly he's a million miles away from Bufflin, but going into the postseason with a guy that's got that presence, I mean, that cannot hurt, particularly on a team that really has had to protect itself. You know, again, by army, not just one guy can stand up. So that's a pretty neat tool to have. But there's obviously room for upgrades on that back end. And whether it's David Savard or, I mean, I think the Ekholm dream is dead because of what the Predators have done. We know that. I like the Oleksik option again, but it all comes down to dollars and cents. I don't know what the situation would be up front, guys. You might weigh in as well. Blake Wheeler going down. You know, does it automatically mean that, oh man, they need a top six guy? I don't think so. I think the Blake thing is really unfortunate for their captain and for the organization. But I think that it also lets him have some probably much needed rest time, which nobody wants to have a concussion, and he could be a very sick man right now. We don't know, but there's no way they're going to rush him into the lineup, right? They've got the playoff spot locked up. They're probably playing the Oilers, right? I think we all sense that. So Blake's probably going to come back in time for the postseason, and they'll win even if they go 500 the rest of the way with a healthy Blake Wheeler. I think they'd all take that. So I don't see them making a move. Would they try and get another guy with some playoff grit, some playoff experience to join with Nate Thompson and Trevor Lewis? I think that would be a big plus. I got nothing against Jansen Harkins, but I mean, would you not want to add a guy that can, you know, maybe another PK guy, a guy that you can maybe, that's maybe been a good power play guy in the past that you can throw out? I'm not saying Corey Perry type, but you know what I mean? But I think Kevin Cheveldayoff will be focusing, long answer, Kevin Cheveldayoff will be focusing on upgrading his defense in some way or another. But it won't be a stud guy, Dave. I just don't see how they make that money work.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, Jay. Like, I'm looking at a Jamie Oleksiak, or I mean, you've heard, you know, Mike Riley out there. I think, you know, David Savard, we would all agree that's the big fish, right? Like, if the Jets can swing a trade for David Savard, you're not going to have to necessarily give up a first pick, but I think that's the holdup right now because he's so highly sought after. Like you hear there's, you know, possibly as many as half a dozen teams. And I agree with you in terms of the forwards. And that was going to be, you know, my next question, because I agree with you. I don't think Blake Wheeler's injury is going to change much, but would you be surprised if Chevy brings in a depth forward, like a guy that I've floated out there that's on the TSN trade bait board is like a guy like Luke Glendening, like a center that can kill penalties. You know, I think he's above 65% in the faceoff circle. Like, is that a move that you wouldn't be surprised if Chevy makes, just having another, you know, depth forward that they can possibly use come playoff time?
I guess it certainly doesn't hurt them. I mean, again, somebody else could get hurt down the stretch too, right? And then you've got a guy, and the next up guy is a pretty seamless fit, right? And it's not going to cost you anything for a guy like that, right? I mean, you're going, and now I don't want to slam 6-round picks because we just had to talk about a guy named Mason. Man, those 6-round picks are useless. Chevy will do. I can't imagine he'll stand pat in a year when, you know, your chances of coming out of that Canadian division are not so bad. You know, like you could be in the Final Four with a little bit of puck luck and a real good Hellebuck and scoring a few goals. I mean, because you're going to have to score a bunch of goals against Edmonton and Toronto. There's no question.
Jason Bell is our guest. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms. And Jason, to that point, and this is our Illegal Curve question of the day, and we want the audience to chime in on this as well. You know, what is the Jets' ceiling in your mind right now with the roster as it currently is? Assume Wheeler's healthy. And then what could that ceiling be if they go out and they acquire a top four defenseman, or they upgrade the back end? You know, how does that, do you think, change your impression of the Jets' ceiling for this season?
Well, it really I think a first round matchup, and please, and do we, a show of hands, do we all agree they're probably playing Edmonton? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. What do you got to do to beat the Edmonton Oilers? I mean, the Jets are probably 90% better than the Edmonton. Well, that's not even fair to Connor McDavid. I mean, they're on paper they're a better team, but I mean, you've got a guy that is, as Blake Wheeler calls him, super freak, that can literally win hockey games just on his own, like a superhuman effort by 97. They could sweep the Jets. We know that, right? And the Jets could outplay them and all the other business, and it's just so. If there's a way to kind of keep him in check, and I think if you can keep him in check, Draisaitl will do his thing, but he doesn't win hockey games alone. The Jets could win that series. I think we agree with that. Cause I think, I mean, stacked up, for goaltender, defensive core, forward group, they're a better hockey club. Mm-hmm. And then in Toronto, I think it's a toss up. I mean, if Toronto gets through Montreal, it's a toss up. Again, I think Winnipeg has kind of figured out a way to handle, you know, Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews. But wow, what an exciting series that'll be. I mean, I think that's what we all would love to see. I think Canadian hockey fans would love to see that series, right? So I like their ceiling. I think they have as good a chance as the other two to come out of that division. And then when they get to the Final Four, stacked up to get the rest of the league. I'd like to think that I know a lot about the NHL, but I'm like, I don't know. Like I'm embarrassed to say I had to check again to see who was actually in the playoff race in the other divisions, because it's like another sport right now, isn't it? Is it, am I alone in that?
No, you're not. You're not. Many right. People, Jay, have said that on our show, and you know, they're not the only people thinking that, just because, I mean, we're seeing, you know, Montreal, Toronto, Ottawa, Calgary, Edmonton on a nightly basis, or I guess every second night, sometimes nightly. And yeah, it's kind of tough to see, you know, the rest of the league, right? Because you're so focused on the Canadian teams. And
well, I make a point of trying to watch the highlights at night, but then you're kind of going, wait a second. Oh yeah. Yeah. Columbus is playing Pittsburgh. Well, wait a second. Law and Order's on too. Like, I may as well just, you know, <that's, laughs> so I haven't been engaged, and it's kind of my job to be engaged, but, you know, Seinfeld's on. So I don't know. It just seems so weird. Yeah. It just seems so weird that once it gets out there, it's like going to be like this whole new world of hockey, right? Once we get out of this, and don't forget, we got to figure out too where the playoffs are going to take place. Like, right. Is the Final Four going to be in a bubble somewhere? And that's going to kind of suck. But to your original point, I think the Jets have a great chance to get to the Final Four. If they shore their defense up a little bit and figure out a way how to corral Connor McDavid to a point where he's just a superstar and not like you know, otherworldly. They got the best goaltender in the National Hockey League right now in so many respects. And it's, you know, obviously Philip Grubauer and Vasilevskiy are playing well, and we don't get to see them, but all we see is Connor McDavid, or pardon me, Connor Hellebuyck. We see a lot of Connor McDavid too, but all we see is Connor Hellebuyck, you know, winning hockey games on his own. So.
Jay, I wanted to ask you, you know, I think we all agree with you that there's a good chance that it's going to be Jets and Oilers. And I don't know if you could see, I was salivating at the possibility of the Leafs and the Habs playing in the first round, because that's just going to be an absolute bloodbath. But what I wanted to ask you is kind of like, what do you see happening, you know, with the other teams in the division that are the contending? I mean, we know that the teams that aren't making the playoffs, but do you think other teams are going to be busy? Because we know that, you know, Montreal already made their quote unquote big move, bringing Eric Staal in, and obviously the Leafs acquired Riley Nash, who's a depth forward for them. They only had to give up a seventh round pick.
Yeah, that was a money thing too, right?
So absolutely, yeah. The Columbus retained the money, and so when you, I guess the other team, you know, that I'm coming around to is Edmonton. We know they're right up against the salary cap. So, I mean, do you see the Oilers or the Leafs or the Habs, for that matter, making any more moves? Because, I mean, we know, as you said, all these teams have the salary cap issues, and it just doesn't seem like any of these teams are going to go after, you know, a Taylor Hall or, you know, some of the other big names that are out there.
Well, the brass of those teams are probably thinking like the Jets, like at standing pat, we got a pretty good chance. And is this the year we really want to dump a first round pick on like David Savard? I mean, that's a big ask, right? I think Edmonton is, you know, they could certainly do to shore up their defense as well, right? Montreal, I mean, Brandon Gallagher going down, and it looks like he will not, he's possibly not going to be available for the first round of the playoffs. I mean, he would be a thorn in Toronto's side like he has been with everybody else. Mm-hmm. So Eric Staal doesn't fit that role. And I thought Eric Staal was pretty invisible the other night. I'm not saying that Eric Staal isn't a great player, but Montreal, like, he was a real driver, Brendan Gallagher, and we know that. So does Montreal have to go out and get a player? Or they just move Corey Perry up? Because Corey Perry, I thought, again, has played really well. I mean, it seems – so I don't see – I just don't see a situation where a bunch of these teams are going to make these, you know, kind of mortgage the farm on this year. It's one of these years where, like, let's just kind of roll the dice and see what happens. It's kind of a goofy year. Let's just take our chances. I'm not saying there's not going to be any moves tomorrow or 2 days from now. And I'm sure TSN and Sportsnet are banking on it, right? What else are they going to want? What else are they going to show on their program? But that'd be minor moves. But does anybody out there think that any of those three teams are going to go for a big fish?
No, I think there's a good chance that Toronto might acquire a goalie. And then, like you said, Jay, like, they're minor moves at this point. I don't think, first off, are any of these names even big? Like, Taylor Hall doesn't have the same cachet.
Not at all.
Little Seinfeld reference there, cachet baby. He doesn't have, you know, the at least this year, he's got a couple of goals. He's only got one goal since the first game of the season. I mean, he's really struggled, as have the rest of the Sabres. But no, I don't think any of the Canadian teams are going to make any big moves. And the one team that you thought might be a significant seller, the Calgary Flames, it looks like, you know, they're not moving any of their big pieces like Johnny Gaudreau. So I think it's going to be pretty
Sam
quiet.
Bennett loves being there now, apparently. So it's just kumbaya over there. Daryl Sutter has brought everybody together.
Yeah, kumbaya with no results, though, unfortunately, for Calgary fans.
No. No, he's publicly shamed almost every member of the organization already, but they're thrilled to have him. And apparently he likes being ensconced in velvet too, by the way.
Nice Seinfeld reference again. We appreciate that more than anything.
Jay, do you see the Jets doing anything from an internal perspective? I mean, you do have internal options. You've got Gustafson and Samberg, who are both injured right now with the Moose. But I mean, there's always the possibility, you know, to your point about not mortgaging the future because this year is so unique. I mean, there's some who would say, well, if it's so unique, maybe it's an opportunity to go for it. But there's others who say, well, maybe you have to stand pat because there's so much uncertainty. Because to your point, and we've talked about it on the show, I have no idea. It's almost like the American League and the National League when they never played each other and it was hard to understand how you would go up against those teams. I have no idea what's going on in the rest of the league. So you don't know how the North Division stacks up against the Metro or whatever these divisions are called now. I don't even know all the names. But the point is, you don't know. So there's a lot of uncertainty. So do you see the Jets, like, look what happened with Logan Stanley, right? You're not going to necessarily – you have a little more certainty because it's not as if there's been that long gap. You've got these guys playing – Christian Vesalainen is up with the team. But do you see the team saying, you know, we do have internal options. We don't need, not necessarily on defense, but in defense too, they got Heinola. Do you see them doing that, saying we've got some internal options, we don't necessarily need to go out and make moves if it's going to cost us too much? Because, again, like I said, some of the numbers that are being thrown out are pretty high for what teams are wanting for guys who are UFAs.
In a short answer, I would say no. Because I don't think, I mean, other than, you know, Sammy, Nico, and Ville Heinola may play just so that these other guys get some rest. Mm-hmm. But I don't think there's any answers there to upgrade your team. I mean, they've made it very clear they are not going to rush Ville Heinola. I mean, or he would have been playing this year already, or Dylan Sandberg. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're very content with the six they have. And Paul will always opt for the veteran over the young player. I don't think they're going to thrust them into a situation where they're playing even small minutes, protected minutes, down a playoff stretch. I think they've made their choices on that and respect them for it, if you will, because they've got a plan for those guys. I think the Sammy Niku thing, I think we'll probably see Sammy. We might see Sammy play soon, especially if the Jets realize that Toronto's kind of out of reach. Home ice advantage against Edmonton doesn't really mean a whole lot because there's nobody in the buildings. So we're not going to move either way. So you'll see some guys maybe come in and spot off guys just for the rest. But I don't think, do you think there's any, is there anybody in the organization that makes, I mean, I think Cease and Luoto don't really have a jump up on the guys that are certainly, I mean, they love what Nate Thompson and Trevor Lewis have done, and they've shown, they're showing confidence. Jansen Harkins to be the next guy up. So I'm not saying that the pipeline isn't strong for the Jets right now. I just don't see them dipping into it.
Yeah, it's hard to – yeah, sorry. Quickly say, no, I think there are no shortage of players that have played for the Moose this year that could step into the lineup. I mean, Dave mentioned, and the big ones are on defense with Sandberg and Heinola. And, you know, David Gustafson and Christian Vesalainen, and there's no question in my mind, and I think David would agree that those guys can play – in the NHL right now. I just think it's a question of, you know, is there an opportunity? Are the coaching staff willing to put these guys in? And we know how long Jansen Harkins had to wait to get into the lineup, right? So I don't necessarily, you know, expect any one of those four players that I mentioned to necessarily be in the lineup in the near future. But there's no doubt that the Jets do have internal options if they don't acquire anyone. But I'm kind of leaning towards the Jets acquiring. Exactly. Yeah. I'm leaning towards the Jets acquiring one or two defensemen and a depth forward. I think there's probably three moves, and that's just my opinion, but I think there could be more than one move coming for Chevy before Monday.
And it won't be Matt Hendricks.
It will not be Matt Hendricks.
Jason Bell covers the Winnipeg Jets for the Winnipeg Free Press. He does a great job. Marty Bird does a great job as well. Good. Marty, Jason, we appreciate you both of us joining us this morning. Thanks so much. We'll do it again real soon.
So fun. Thanks, guys. Jake. Now, how do I get out of here? Thanks.
Take care. You just hit the X. There he goes. Jason.
Well, technically still here. Still here. Still here.
I can boot him. I can remove him. There he goes. There goes Jason Bell.
I'll tell you what, guys. Marty Bird.
Marty Bird. We'll talk about Marty Bird on the other end of these commercials and more on the Winnipeg Jets.
Smash
the like button while we go to break. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms.
Keeping Winnipeg laughing for over 30 years. Rumors, Canada's longest running comedy club, bringing you the biggest laughs from the best comedians on the planet. Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the greats, and all the up-and-comers too. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends or book your office or birthday party. Even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
Hey, Drew.
Ezzy, whoa, what a smile!
Yeah, I got my crowns done at Linden Market Dental Center, and they whitened my teeth.
I see.
They're so bright that every time I smile, they go,
"We have hockey tonight. Do you have a mouth guard to protect those pearly whites?"
I sure do.
Whoa, they even ting through the mouth guard!
Linden Market Dental Center covers all your dental needs, from restorative to cosmetic dentistry, and will fit you with a sports guard for that active lifestyle. 877 Waverly, see lindenmarketdental.com.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at zappiagroup.com.
While you can't always count on your team winning, nor your favorite player scoring, one thing you can always count on is Bernstein's Deli. They've expanded their services because the team at Bernstein's Deli wants to accommodate your needs and keep you safe. Open Tuesday to Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. to serve you. Head to your phone, in-store or online to shop for groceries or order meals from the restaurant, like the legendary Illegal Curve Sandwich. Just go to bernsteinsdeli.com.
So you're a pizza person, you married a wing person, but somehow your kids are salad people. You can't pick your fam, but you can pick your BP meal deal, starting from $18.99 for takeout or delivery at bostonpizza.com.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Saturday morning, we're live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms. Big thank you to Jason Bell of the Winnipeg Free Press for having just joined us. Jason's appearance is brought to you by Dr. Les Rikus and the team at Linden Market Dental Center, official dentist of Illegal Curve Hockey. Don't be an Ezzy. Always wear a mouth guard and give yourself peace of mind protection as well as facial, teeth, and mouth protection. To make an appointment to get your teeth to ting, visit LindenMarketDentalCenter.com.
By the way, coffee and TV owe Dave and I $5 each.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I was putting my headphones in, so I mean, it's possible that technically I would be considered late.
We'll have to go to the instant replay and let the judges let the war room decide if it was if you made it in time.
I wasn't doing my usual slide into the seat, so that was okay.
There you go. That's good. I've seen you slide in softball. Nobody wants to see that on screen as well. I think it might have been a trip. It might have tripped into a base.
I was gonna say I think I fell once running the bases after hitting a triple. Hashtag no big deal. But
should have been a home run, but you fell.
Oh yeah, I wiped it. I bit. No, in fact it was a double because I bit it so hard.
Anyway, still to come on the show, Scott Burnside of The Athletic is going to join us for more trade deadline discussion. And then in the final hour, Mark Dumont covers the Montreal Canadiens. He's going to join us as well. No argument over here. We have KV in the chat saying you need to find an official hairdresser for the show. Well, at least for Ezzy. I don't think my hair is that big of a problem. And Dave wears a hat, so who knows what's going on there. But in any event, nice to see so many of you this Saturday morning in the chat room and watching us. While you're here, make sure you hit the subscribe button, hit the like button, leave us some positivity. We like to hear from our fans about what they like and what they don't like on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. More about what you do like, though, to be perfectly honest. Anyways, gentlemen,
I gotta interrupt. Mike, the whiteboard is only for post-game shows.
Mike Severino is asking, Dave, where's the whiteboard? It has allegedly scrawled on it, illegalcurve.com, but that's just a post-game show exclusive.
That's a good reference. People should go there right now. It's a very good place for Jets and Moose news.
There you go. You see how I did that? Just subtly sort of sliding it in there, Dave? I'd give you a little bit of a pump up there. In any event, gentlemen, let's talk about the trade deadline. I mean, we've been talking about it for a number of weeks, but now we're into crunch time, a little more than 48 hours away from the absolute deadline where the Jets will either make a trade or they will not make a trade. I mean, historically...
Really? Is that what they're going to do, trade or not trade? That's some good analysis right there, Drew.
Thank you. I appreciate it. That's why you come to the watch this show for that kind of insight. Kevin Sheveldayoff usually doesn't strike until the day of when it comes to the NHL trade deadline. We remember that with Paul Stastny. We remember that last year with Dylan DeMello and Cody Eakin coming over from Vegas, and the Eakin one was sort of being really late, almost right up against the buzzer. So. As much as it would be fun if that trade were to happen in the next 90 minutes or so, it's unlikely, I think, from my perspective, that we're going to see Kevin Sheveldayoff make his move today. But do you think that ultimately, come Monday, the Jets do something to make a trade and upgrade a portion of this team?
Well, the best is going to be when one of the insiders breaks the trade in 15 minutes.
No question.
Just to basically spite Drew there, but... Yeah, I mean, I really do think there is going to be a move made. And, you know, we should mention a guy that we didn't talk to Jason Bell about is Josh Manson. And, you know, I did a little bit of research. I didn't watch the whole game, but, you know, the Ducks and Avalanche played yesterday. And, you know, for my money, guys, like if I'm, you know, and I don't have any money, obviously, but if you ask me who I think is going to win the Stanley Cup right now, I'm going to say Colorado. And I realized before the season started, like they were the sexy pick. Like a lot of people were picking Colorado, and the game was 2-0.
Say Anaheim there for a second.
No. This is not Anaheim's year. Unfortunately, they don't have, this isn't 2007 and they don't have Niedermeyer and Solani. But you just watch that team. And the biggest difference between this year and last year is obviously they brought in, Devon Taves, but Philip Grubauer, I don't know if you guys have been noticing, he leads the league in shutouts. And so this is a guy who was obviously injured in last year's playoffs. So anyways, I kind of went on a tangent there, but the main reason why I was watching the game, in addition to checking out, Rantanen and MacKinnon and the boys, is to watch Josh Manson. And we all know the connections, right? Dave Manson was a former Jet. Josh Morrissey played for Dave Manson in Prince Albert. Dave knows that. So there's a lot of connections there, right? I'm not sure if Morrissey and Manson are friends off the ice, but there's a chance that they know each other just because of the Dave Manson connection. But it makes a lot of sense. And, now I'm kind of leaning towards if Chevy is able to put together a package for Josh Manson, I'm not sure if it's going to take a first round pick. You know, it's a little bit trickier, to know that because Manson does have a year left on his contract. But Manson, we know he's got the size. He's got the physicality. You know, he can chip in offensively. You know, wouldn't it be nice, guys, to see a Morrissey-Manson top pair? Like, I think that could really work nice. And then, yeah, if we're talking about Jamie Oleksiak, Mike Riley is having a very underrated year for the Senators. I know we have a lot of people in our chat that have been talking about Mike Riley for a few weeks now. Doesn't have any goals, but I think he's got 16 or 17 assists, Dave. Riley's a guy that can move the puck, former standout in college hockey, I think, with University of Minnesota, if I'm not mistaken. So Riley makes a lot of sense. So, yeah, Drew, I mean, you have to think – put it this way, guys. With the way the Jets have played this year, Dave has mentioned this, don't you have to reward this team by going out and bringing in whether it's one defenseman or two defensemen? We know that you need to have 10 defensemen if you're going to go on a long playoff run. So I think the likelihood of Chevy doing nothing is low.
Yeah, and, to your point, Ezzy, and I know a lot of people have been talking about it and, the insiders have reported on it that Manson has the Jets, on his no move, on his no trade list.
He can waive that. That's not
an issue. Because remember, Paul Stastny had the Jets on his no trade when he waived from St. Louis to come here. So it definitely can be arranged and can be worked around. So I don't think that makes it an automatic deal breaker. You're not coming to Winnipeg in the second year of a 6-year contract. You're coming to Winnipeg in, middle of April for a playoff stretch drive, which I mean, I think is a lot more appealing. I mean, as nice as it is to live in Anaheim, don't get me wrong, and go to the beach every day. But if you want to play meaningful hockey come playoff time, players find a way to make that work. And then who knows about, of course, the extra year left on the deal, but that's a separate issue altogether, Dave. Is Manson realistic in your mind, or is the cost going to be almost too high? Because I think the cost, it's probably not going to be as high as it would have been for Ekholm, but I don't think it's going to be terribly dissimilar, especially because you do get that extra year.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a fair point by you, Drew. And I assumed actually as he was watching the Anaheim game, just because he wanted to watch former Jets draft pick Chase DeLeo play his first ever game in California as a member of the Anaheim Ducks. I thought that was the 2014 fourth rounder, but evidently it wasn't to watch that. It was to watch Josh Manson. So I would say that, look, you're in a tough position if you're Kevin Cheveldayoff, because you have a team, again, like I said, that is, you can say whatever you want. Connor Hellebuyck is still going to be here for a number of years. Not as if he's going anywhere, and it's not as if his talent is declining anytime soon. So it's not like you're going to lose out on him. You still got Mark Scheifele, you still got Nikola Ehlers, you still got Kyle Connor, but again, you've got Matthew Perreault. We don't know what's going to happen with him. You've got a core that seems to be working, right? And again, to me, it becomes a function of what do? Because you don't know. There's so much uncertainty. So do you mortgage the future? No. I mean, Ezzy made the distinction, I think, in the last post-game show in terms of Heinola versus Samberg and whether one is untouchable versus, and again, Heinola's not going anywhere. Nashville can ask about him, but Jets weren't going to about to trade him. And realistically, I don't know how seriously the Jets would trade a guy like Dylan Sandberg either, because again, he's part of their future plans. Now, again, it's that big decision that Kevin Cheveldayoff has to make. What do you do? You know, is your team good enough to do it? Well, you have the goaltender who's good enough to win you a Stanley Cup. I think nobody is going to disagree with that statement. I think you have a forward group that is talented enough to score you probably away. I mean, again, they have some, their flaws, they have some warts, but for the most part, there's, it's a pretty balanced group and they've got a lot of talent. So the question becomes, what do you do in terms of the defense? Because we know that the defense, and Ezzie's right, I mean, this, they've been remarkably healthy, but you still need to have depth. So regardless of what you're doing, you're making moves. There's no question about it that they're going to add before, because Jason's not wrong. I don't think the Jets want to rush these guys either. Heinola's up with the team right now. He's not with the Moose. So that's, you know, you've got the insurance. He could go in the lineup. But Dylan Sandberg, who I've already indicated to folks is injured, he's not coming up playing for the Jets anyways, I don't think, because he's still got a lot of growing to do as a player, even though he's an older player, you know, coming out of college. But he's not jumping into the lineup anytime soon. So you've got to go and get those guys who are going to be able to give you that kind of the mileage that you want. And to me, again, unless the price is crazy, you know, he's a UFA, but I think David Savard makes so much sense. Now, so many other teams are saying David Savard makes sense for their team. You know, the Bostons, the Carolinas, like whomever. Those teams are looking at it. Now, we know Columbus is done, right? They've already sent Riley Nash yesterday to Toronto. They lost Zach Werenski for the season. So the reality is,
let me just make a quick note, though, to remind people, David Savard is being healthy scratched again right by Columbus tonight. So, you know, again, they're holding him out of the lineup. It's inevitable a trade with, you know, for David Savard is happening between yes, now sir. And 2 o'clock on Monday.
Yeah, there's no question about it. His time in Columbus is done. And again, like I said, there's a number of reasons why you want a player like that. He'll solidify, I think, a pairing with Josh Morrissey. He's a UFA, so you don't really run into an issue as to what you have to do for your defense when it comes to the expansion, which you would if you've got a guy like Manson. That makes it more of a situation where you have to figure something out with Seattle. So and very close with Pierre-Luc Dubois. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to use the word best friends, but I think they were best friends on the team in Columbus. And I think, you know, there's probably something to be said for that in terms of a comfort for these players, right? Like they all know each other, but especially in a year where you're not playing these guys, there would be some advantage to that. So again, and even Matthew Perreault, I mean, we sometimes forget, but when Matthew Perreault was asked what it was like to have another French speaker in the room, you know, he appreciated it. There is an appeal to that. So, I mean, to have that sort of camaraderie with another French guy in the room, I think probably would go a long way for that, for those guys. So I think David Savard makes a lot of sense for this team. But again, what's the price going to be? You know, for a UFA,
it's a first round pick for sure.
Well, that's what I was reading. You're right, Izzy. That's what.
Yeah. Saying. So that's you're 100% right, Dave. Like, you know, it's been a couple of weeks now, right, boys? Like we've been saying, because Ekholm's out of the picture, right? Mm-hmm. Savard's got to be your number one target. And I really do think that even if the Jets do acquire Savard, you could see another left side defenseman. Like, I don't think they're going to acquire two right shot defensemen, but that's why, you know, we talked about names out there. Jamie Oleksiak, mm-hmm. you know, Alex Goligoski is a left shot defenseman. We've talked about Mike Riley. I mean, Dmitry Kulikov is a guy that I don't think the Jets are, you know, high on, but you know, he is out there and you hear, you know, some other teams might be interested in him just to, you know, as a kind of number seven, number eight type of defenseman, right? And it's not going to cost you anything because he's not making that much money. It's towards the end of the season, but you're absolutely right. I think it comes down to, Dave, who is going to offer the most attractive package to Jarmo Kekalainen for Savard, because we know Columbus is not signing him. And the Jets might be a little bit reticent to give up that first round pick. But I think if you're going to give up a first round pick for any defenseman, it should be one of Savard or Manson.
Well, that was going to be my question to you guys is, you know, you mentioned sort of the need, maybe the focus isn't necessarily on only one defenseman, but it's maybe two defensemen. Is that something that you think is a priority, you know, a top four guy and let's say some extra depth on the back end, especially with Beaulieu being out of the lineup for the remainder of the season? Because you look at the Jets defense and you know, you know, they got the six that they got right now, and then you got sort of Sammy Niku right now as your seventh, and you got Heinola there as well, you know, in seventh, eighth, whatever numbers you want to use. But do they need sort of another depth guy in addition, you know, that isn't really necessarily, that likely isn't going to play, but could just sort of be extra insurance for the team on the back end?
Yeah, I do. And the only reason why I, you know, just as I'm talking about it here, I'm thinking in my head, the only thing that and I mentioned this on last week's show, boys, like Logan Stanley has played so well that if you didn't have the emergence of Stanley, I think there would be more pressure maybe, or, you know, Chevy would be more aggressive in trying to acquire a left shot defenseman. But put it this way, if the Jets go into the playoffs with that left side, it's not like it's a bad left side. Like, I have no problem with Derek Forbort and Neil Pionk. It's been the Jets' most consistent pair. I have no problem going into the playoffs with Stanley on your third pair. The question then becomes, you know, aside from Sammy Niku, who's the next guy up if you know, one of Stanley or Forbort goes down? So that's the question. So, yes, I do think, you know, that Chevy might go after two left-shot defensemen. But if it's not Jamie Oleksiak, then it could be like a Mike Riley maybe is your third pairing guy. Someone's going to have to come out of the lineup, right? Like, we expect the Jets to acquire defensemen. That means, you know, one of the Jets defensemen that's currently in the top six is going to come out. And the question then becomes, who's that guy going to be? Well, the money would be on Stanley or Poolman just based on, you know, the quality of defensemen that the Jets have. So it's going to be very interesting to see. But that's what I would say, Drew, that, you know, I have no problem with Stanley. I've really liked his game. We've talked about him, and he deserves to be talked about because he's having a great rookie NHL season. So, you know, if Chevy, and that's why the right side is so much more important. And we talked about it last week, because the right side isn't as good as the left side, in my opinion.
Saturday morning, you're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms. The NHL trade deadline comes up Monday afternoon at 2 p.m. That's obviously what we're talking about as it pertains to the Winnipeg Jets. Stay tuned, of course, to this show, to IllegalCurve.com, and on our Twitter feed for any Winnipeg Jets trade news. This segment of the show brought to you by Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty, official realtors of Illegal Curve Hockey. When 95% of your clients come via referral, it shows your commitment to honesty, integrity, and a total dedication to client satisfaction. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, come shake hands with Frank and Mauro Zappia online at zappiagroup.com. Dave, what are your thoughts about what Ezzy was saying about the, you know, the upcoming trade deadline?
Well, I mean, look, here's what, in my mind, what it ultimately comes down to. I mean, you've got, you don't have a fourth and a seventh for the picks this upcoming draft, right? So you've got your first, your second, your third, and your fifth, and your sixth. But to me, I think the Jets, my head is on fire. Thank you, Jets Freak. But I think it's burning hot to thinking about all these thoughts, these hot takes I've got coming up.
All the traffic on IllegalCurve.com is making you burn up a little bit.
That's right. It's just every time I get more and more traffic, just it blows. But I think to me, it's what is the value of a draft pick? And I think in this year, and I've talked to people who do this for a living. They say they're prepared. They say they're ready to know what's going to happen at the draft, even though, again, you haven't had the OHL play yet, right? So there's a lot of players who, in essence, have had a lost year.
And they're not going to play, given what's happening with COVID in Ontario. I'd be shocked.
But regardless, right? So you've
still I understand.
And the draft isn't moving, right? It's not as if – so even if – I mean, in theory, these players could be playing when the draft is on, right? We don't know, obviously, what's going to happen. But
and when's that draft, Dave? Birthday.
Oh, July 24th. That's right. It's his birthday. So the point is that you've got a lot of uncertainty. Like, again, teams feel confident in their scouting, but at the same time, there's still a big question mark to me. So remember, we, Ezzy and I, were asked last week by you, Drew, would we give up a first? And the answer was, well, yeah, you probably would, because I think that's the cost, which now, reading more and more articles, it seems like that is the cost. Even for a UFA, it's a high price to pay. Don't get me wrong, but again, you know, first of all, a Jets first is going to be what, 23rd?
Well,
24th?
They hope it's going to be, you know, 25 or later, 26 or later. Well,
sure, but you know what I'm saying? Like, realistically, yeah. it's going to be a late 20s pick. And again, they got Jack Roswick in the late 20s. You can get good players get drafted in the late rounds of the first. I'm not maligning it. I'm simply saying, you know, this team is a team that builds towards the future, drafts and develops. Trust me, I follow the moose. I understand that very well. But at the end of the day, you have to understand that at a certain point, you have to be willing to make moves to go for it. You've made a move to bring Pierre-Luc Dubois. That's a move to make your team good for years to come. That's a move to make your team, you know, have center depth that's on par with the Torontos and the Edmontons. So that's a great move long term. But again, like I said, you've got aging out guys, Perreault, Wheeler, that you kind of want to take advantage of them when they're still effective. And Matthew Perreault, again, we've seen Matthew Perreault kind of have a resurgence to his career this year. He's been fantastic. So to me, do you have enough to give these guys enough to get kind of get going? And I think in a draft that's so unknown, I think it's a year to take a chance with a draft pick and make your team better and give your team a chance to run.
Take a break, take a breath. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about the illegal curve question of the day. What is the Jets' ceiling now and how does that improve depending on the move the Jets make before the trade deadline on Monday? You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Drew Mandel, Dave Manouk, Ezra Ginsberg with you. We'll be right back with the illegal curve question of the day. We're live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms.
No penalties here. It's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show podcast with Drew Mandel, Ezra Ginsberg, and Dave Manouk